Well, good morning again, everyone. Welcome to Christ Church, and especially to all our dads on this Father's Day. We're so glad that you're here to celebrate with us. And isn't it neat to see all the dads that are going on this mission trip, many of them with their own youth, and some who are just committed year in and year out to be a part of that great adventure. Now, you know, I believe that every dad wants their wife and kids to consider them to not only be a good dad, but a great dad. So I want to share with you five ways to be a great dad this morning. You've got some notes in your program there. And the first thing I want you to understand, which is foundational to this message today, is that great fathers aren't born, they're made. Say that with me. Great fathers aren't born, they're made. The five ways to be a great dad that I'm going to share with you today don't come from a can of dad fuel. They come from a book called the Bible. So here we go. The first way to be a great dad is to love your wife and kids with the Father's love. If you want to be a great dad, you must have a great love in your heart. Now, there's a natural love that I think all of us fathers have experienced for our kids. When a baby first comes into our life, it changes us. We never realized that we could love anything so much. But let's face it, fathering is very challenging. And for us to love in season and out of season, during all the ups and downs of family life, we need a love greater than our own. We need the Father's love. The Bible calls our Heavenly Father's love an unconditional love. It's a love no strings attached. I did a wedding down in St. Paul on Friday afternoon for my nephew. Man, was it hot that day. It was just as humid as it is this morning. And in those vows, of course, the couple says that they commit to love one another for better and for worse, for richer and for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish for the rest of our lives. And that same love that we commit to our spouse, which is really the unconditional love of God, is the love that we must have in our hearts as fathers in order to be great dads. Now, dads, you have your rules, right? You have your expectations. There has to be appropriate discipline in a family. But bottom line, your kid must know that you love him or her no matter what, that you love them for who they are, not just what they do. That's the unconditional love of our Heavenly Father. This love is expressed in many passages in the Bible, but here are a couple. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not die, but would have eternal life." God gave us his best with no strings attached, with no guarantee of a response from his children. Fathers, that's the love that we're called to give our kids. No strings attached, with no guarantee of a response. The unconditional love of our Heavenly Father expressed through us as earthly fathers. Now, Jesus knew what that relationship was all about. In John 10, verse 30, he said, "I and the Father are one." Now, we understand that theologically in terms of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. But I believe that Jesus is talking about something more. I think he's talking about the relationship that he had with his Heavenly Father. They were in unity. They were one in spirit and purpose. And it allowed Jesus to go all the way to the cross knowing that his Heavenly Father had his back, that his love was there with him in his heart from beginning to end. Now, here's a couple of interesting quotes about this point. The first quote says, is from Theodore Herzberg. I have no idea who that is, but I like the quote. "The most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother." Isn't that true? Dads, your kids are watching from the earliest days until now. And how you treat your wife, their mom, is how they know in their heart of hearts you will treat them. The second quote says, "Daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's love without end." Sounds like a song by country singer George Strait, doesn't it? This love without end is the love of Father God, and it's meant to be in our hearts as well. Okay, the second way to be a great dad is to establish a household of faith. A household of faith is one where God is at the center of every relationship, every activity, every decision, every conversation. It's a home where faith is real and you can feel it. In Joshua 24:15, he declared, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Now those words have been emblazoned on plaques that have hung in many a Christian home, but the question is, have we truly declared that to be our highest value as fathers, as mothers, as families? What is the highest priority in your home? Is it fun? Is it TV? Is it sports? Is it work? Is it education? Is it family time? Faith and service of the Lord should be the umbrella covering all of these activities. And dads, it's your responsibility to set the tone. Now, there are numerous places in the Bible where we see that belief in God is meant to touch not only the individual, but to touch the whole family, the household, as it's described in the scripture. The Greek word is oikos. It included everything that was a part of that family, the people, the pets, the stuff. You know, often the workplace was in the home. The oikos was the center of life, the family. And if the head of the household got saved, it was understood that the whole family should come under that influence and be saved. In Luke 19, for example, when Zacchaeus came down out of the tree and Jesus said, "I'm coming to your house for dinner." Remember that night, Zacchaeus repented of his greed, of his wrongdoing, and promised to give back the money that he had wrongly taken as a tax collector. But Jesus saw into his heart. And he said to Zacchaeus that day, "Salvation has come to your house." That was a very profound statement. In Acts 16:31, Paul and Silas are locked in jail. And you remember, they were in chains and they were singing and praising the Lord. And an earthquake shook that jail cell and their chains fell off. And the jailer now thought he was in big trouble, because if the prisoners escaped, his life was on the line. But when he came into the jail cell, there was Paul and Silas still sitting there. And he said to them, "What must I do to be saved?" And their response, you see it there on the screen, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And that night, the jailer and his whole family were baptized and became a part of the family of God. Dads, your kids can't inherit your faith, but they are certainly meant to be influenced by it. Amen? Now, you can do collateral damage, or you can do collateral blessing. Which will it be in your household? So establishing a household of faith is about creating a culture, an atmosphere of faith in your home, so that faith is central to everything that happens there. One person said it this way: faith is forwarding all issues to heaven. That's pretty good, isn't it? God is our go-to in every circumstance. Okay, the third way that the Bible encourages us to be great dads is to clarify the mission. Now, we've got 58 people leaving on a mission trip on Wednesday. They understand what the mission is. They're going to Harlan, Kentucky to do some stuff in Jesus' name. They've got it all mapped out. They've got the supplies bought. They're ready to go and make a difference for Jesus. And you see, it's that clarification of our mission that's so essential in every Christian family. And dads, it starts with you. A good question might be, if your kids follow you, where will they end up? That's clarifying the mission. Peter Marshall, a great Christian teacher and writer, once said, "If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything." Based on your leadership, your values. What does your family stand for today? You see, Jesus made it pretty simple. He focused the mission and purpose of every individual, and by extension, every family. When asked to summarize the Bible, he simply put it this way. He replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Matthew 22:37-39. Friends, this is our mission. Great dads help their families understand that life boils down to loving God and loving others. I think I saw that on some t-shirts this morning here somewhere. Every activity must be measured against this standard. The Apostle Paul was walking around one day in the city of Athens, Greece. This is 2,000 years ago. And he saw an altar where people sacrificed animals. And on it, there was an inscription to an unknown God. They were sacrificing to an unknown God. I guess just trying to cover their bases, right? And Paul began to share from his heart the encounter that he'd had with Jesus Christ. And he said, "I want to introduce you to a God who can be known, who loves you and fills you with life." He said to them, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Great dads clarify the mission, that the one who has given us life is worthy of our love and service. Dad, establish this value in your home, and your kids will become world changers. The fourth way to be a great dad, according to the Bible, is to lead by example and serve sacrificially. You know, Jesus said that to be truly great, you must become a servant of all. That's kind of flipping the whole mentality of our world upside down, isn't it? We think that those who are truly great ought to be served by others. Many people attain to high positions so that others will serve them. But Jesus said, no, the greatest among you must become a servant. This is really about walking our talk when it comes to being a Christian. Clarence Cleland said, "My dad didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it." Isn't that a great quote? Don't we know it, dads? It's much more about what we do than what we say. The night before his crucifixion, after Jesus had knelt down and washed his disciples' feet, an act of a servant, he said to them, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." John 15:13. You see, because that's what Jesus did for us, then taking that all the way to the cross, no act of service is too great for us to do in response to him. Dads, are you daily putting the needs of your spouse and kids ahead of your own? Are you doing the little things? Are you making time? Are you following the example of Jesus in word and in deed? You know, my dad gave me a lot of great advice growing up, but more than anything, he led by example and served our family sacrificially, always putting us first. And it was the greatest illustration in my life of the Heavenly Father, who I am so honored to serve. And then fifth, as a great dad, the Bible tells you to pray continually and trust your family to God. Yes, great dads are often down on their knees. Great dads know that they need the wisdom of God. Great dads know how to stand firm and when to let go and trust God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, the Apostle Paul said, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We could insert today, "For this is God's will for all dads in Christ Jesus." Rejoice, it says. Yes, if you are a father, God has blessed you. Every day, celebrate the gift of family. Pray continually. That means to intercede, to stand in the gap for your wife and kids as the spiritual leader in your home. God hears your prayers, and He will give you wisdom for every decision. Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. That means even during the tough times, know that God is with you. God is for you. And dads, there are a lot of tough times, aren't there? There are a lot of challenges that we face, and maybe you're going through a tough time right now. I want to remind you today that you're not alone. Keep giving thanks. Keep looking up instead of looking down, and God will see you through. For you have a high calling, dads, that the will of God in Christ Jesus might be visible in your life and in your family. Billy Graham, the great evangelist who died just this past year, once said, "When we come to the end of ourselves, we come to the beginning of God." Dads, there is this great juxtaposition of these two things when it comes to being a great father. We must love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And we must know that it's only at the end of our strength that we find God's strength. So great fathers aren't born, they're made. Great fathers aren't about biology, they're about theology. A great dad is a guy who loves God and loves and serves his family. You can't find that in a bottle or a can, but I pray today that you will find it in your heart. God bless you, dads. Go for it in Jesus' name. Amen.